for the morning to your Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you are our Creator. You knew us before we were conceived in our mother's wombs. Jesus, you are the lover of our souls, the Lamb of God who purchased us and paid a price that cannot be measured. And you have bridged and brought back people of God back to Him, be reconnected. Holy Spirit, the truth, resounding, unfailing truth. Father, we look to you. God, we look to you to finish the work that you started. You are the author and the finisher of our faith in us, making alive. And making us able to serve you and to serve each other as we minister the kingdom, the good news. Enable us, Lord God, just to do that, God, in the works of righteousness, giving you pleasure through our faithfulness, our fellowship with each other, and our fellowship with you, God. I just bless you this morning for your word, unfailing friendship, and devotion and love and sacrifice that you put down to bring us up. Thank you, God. Good morning, Ted Line. This morning, I want to talk to you about God, and that's been the title of my message. This morning is just simply God, your God. God, your God. God, your God. This week has been a blessing. It's been a banquet of testimonies that have been just inspiring and uplifting and glorifying God and encouraging, faith-building, encouraging testimony of life. And God, God's miracles individually in many different ways through the lives of our fellow Ted Line listeners. And if you're new to the Ted Line, I encourage you to go back and try to catch some of those and hear for yourself from the mouths of others who were at one point in possibly in your position where you were seeking out help and seeking out answers and being led and drawn by the love of God to the Ted Line to hear what God wants to put in you. The word from God that he wants to put in you to bring light to the darkness. It's been a blessing because God along the way shows each of us the multitude of people that we live with that he is working in, has worked in, and will work in to bring about his kingdom, to bring about the promises of his truth that do not fail. And this morning, I want to bring your attention to Deuteronomy 6 in the message, and I'm going to go through a couple chapters of that. But Deuteronomy 6, the message, again, the title of this message is God, your God. God, your God. Deuteronomy 6, this is the commandment. And I'm just to preface real quick Moses has come to the point in the journey with Israel, with the people of God in the wilderness, where God is wrapping up that era of their life, that journey of their life, that part of their life where they've wandered in the wilderness, struggled with their failings and with obedience, and come to the point now where the older of the group have since gotten old and died, and now the younger of the group is going to fulfill God's promise to bring them across the Jordan into the promised land. And God's speaking to Moses, and Moses is now talking to the congregation, the people of Israel that are about to step into this new chapter of their life. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is speaking to the people, and he says, "This is the commandment, the rules and the regulations that God, your God, commanded me to teach you to live out in the land you're about to cross into to possess. This is so that you'll live in deep reverence before God lifelong, observing all his rules and regulations that I'm commanding you, you and your children and your grandchildren, living good long lives. Listen obediently, Israel. Do what you're told so that you'll have a good life, a life of abundance and bounty, just as God promised, in a land abounding in milk and honey. Attention, Israel. God, our God, God, the one and only. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside you, and then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. When God, your God, ushers you into the land he promised through your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, you're going to walk into large, bustling cities you didn't build, well-furnished houses you didn't buy, come upon wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards you didn't plant. When you take it all in and settle down, pleased and content, make sure you don't forget how you got there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Deeply respect God, your God. Serve and worship him exclusively. Back up your promises with his name only. Don't fool around with other gods, the gods of your neighbors, because God, your God, who is alive among you, is a jealous God. Don't provoke him, igniting his hot anger that would burn you right off the face of the earth. Don't push God, your God, to the wall, as you did that day at Massah, the testing place. Carefully keep the commandments of God, your God, all the requirements and regulations he gave you. Do what is right. Do what is good in God's sight so you'll live a good life and be able to march in and take this pleasant land that God so solemnly promised through your ancestors, throwing out your enemies left and right, exactly as God said. The next time your children ask you, what do these requirements and regulations and rules that God, our God, has commanded mean? Tell your children, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God powerfully intervened and got us out of that country. We stood there and watched as God delivered miracle signs, great wonders, and evil visitations on Egypt and Pharaoh and his household. He pulled us out of there so he could bring us here and give us the land he so solemnly promised to our ancestors. That's why God commanded us to follow all these rules, so that we would live reverently before God, our God, as he gives us this good life, keeping us alive for a long time to come. It will be a set right and put together life for us if we make sure that we do this entire commandment in the presence of God, our God, just as he commanded us to do. When God, your God, brings you into the country that you are about to enter and take over, he will clear out the superpowers that were there before you. The Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Those seven nations are all bigger and stronger than you are. God, your God, will turn them over to you, and you will conquer them. You must completely destroy them, offering them up as a holy destruction to God. Don't make a treaty with them. Don't let them off in any way. Don't marry them. Don't give your daughters to their sons and take their daughters for your sons. Before you know it, they'd involve you in worshiping their gods, and God would explode in anger, putting a quick end to you. Here's what you are to do. Tear apart their altar stone by stone. Smash their phallic pillars. Chop down their sex and religion Asherah groves. Set fire to their carved god images. Do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God. God, your God, chose you out of all the people on earth for himself as a cherished personal treasure. God wasn't attracted to you and didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love, promise he made to your ancestors. God stepped in and mightily brought you back out of what, out of that world of slavery, freed you from the iron grip of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know this. God, your God, is God indeed, a God you can depend upon. I want to say that again. Know this. God, your God, is God indeed, a God you can depend upon. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his commandments for 1,000 generations. But he also pays back those who hate him, pays them the wages of death. He isn't slow to pay them off. Those who hate him, he pays them, he pays right on time. So keep the command and the rules and regulations that I command you today, do them. And this is what will happen. When you, on your part, will obey these directives, keeping and following them, God, on his part, will keep the covenant of loyal love that he made with your ancestors. He will love you. He will bless you. He will increase you. He will bless the babies from your womb and the harvest of grain, new wine, and oil from your fields. He'll bless the calves from your herds and lambs from your flocks in the country he promised your ancestors that he'd give you. You'll be blessed beyond all other peoples. No sterility or barrenness in you and your animals. God will get rid of all sickness. And all the evil afflictions you experienced in Egypt, he'll put not on you, but on those who hate you. You'll make mincemeat of all the peoples that God, your God, hands over to you. Don't feel sorry for them and don't worship their gods. They'll trap you for sure. You're going to think to yourselves, oh, we're outnumbered 10-1 by these nations. We'll never even make a dent in them. Telling you, don't be afraid. Remember, yes, remember in detail what God, your God, did to Pharaoh and all Egypt. Remember the great contests to which you were eyewitnesses, the miracle signs, the wonders, God's mighty hand as he stretched out his arm and took you out of there. God, your God, is going to do the same thing to these people you're now so afraid of. And to top it off, the hornet. God will unleash the hornet on them until every survivor in hiding is dead. So don't be intimidated by them. God, your God, is among you. God majestic. God awesome. God, your God, will get rid of these nations bit by bit. You won't be permitted to wipe them out all at once, lest the wild animals take over and overwhelm you. But God, your God, will move them out of your way. He'll throw them into a huge panic until there's nothing left of them. He'll turn their kings over to you, and you'll remove all trace of them under heaven. Not one person will be able to stand up to you. You'll put an end to them all. Make sure you set fire to their carved gods. Don't get greedy for the veneer of silver and gold. On them, take it for yourselves. You'll get trapped by it for sure. God hates it. It's an abomination to God, your God. And don't dare bring one of these abominations home, or you'll end up just like it, burned up as a holy destruction. No, it's forbidden. Hate it. Abominate it. Destroy it and preserve God's holiness. Keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm commanding you today so that you'll live and prosper and enter and own the land that God promised to your ancestors. Remember every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not, put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then he fed you with manna, something neither you nor your parents knew anything about. So you would learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister those 40 years. You learned deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same way a father disciplines his child. So it's paramount that you keep the commandments of God, your God. Walk down the roads he shows you and reverently respect him. God is about to bring you into a good land, a land with brooks and rivers, springs and lakes, streams out of the hills and through the valleys. It's a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and pomegranates, of olives and oil and honey. It's land where you'll never go hungry. Always food on the table and a roof over your head. It's a land where you'll get iron out of rocks and mine copper from the hills. After a meal, satisfied, bless God, your God, for the good land he has given you. Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish, and more money come in, watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God, the God who delivered you from Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through that huge and fearsome wilderness. These desolate, arid badlands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions, the God who gave you water gushing from hard rock, the God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of the hard life, to test you, so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this, and all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine, well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth, so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors, as it is today. If you forget God, your God, and start taking up with other gods, serving and worshiping them, I'm on record right now as giving you firm warning. That will be the end of you. I mean it, destruction. You'll go to your doom, the same as the nations God is destroying before you. Doom because you wouldn't obey the voice of God, your God. Attention, Israel. This very day, you are crossing the Jordan to enter the land and dispossess nations that are much bigger and stronger than you are. You're going to find huge cities with sky-high fortress walls and gigantic people, descendants of the Anakites. You've heard all about them. You've heard the saying, no one can stand up to an Anakite. Today, know this. God, your God, is crossing the river ahead of you. He's a consuming fire. He will destroy the nations. He will put them under your power. You will dispossess them and very quickly wipe them out, just as God promised you would. But when God pushes them out ahead of you, don't start thinking to yourselves, it's because of all the good I've done that God has brought me in here to dispossess these nations. Actually, it's because of all the evil these nations have done. No, it's nothing good that you've done. No record for decency that you've built up, that you got here. It's because of the vile wickedness of these nations that God, your God, is dispossessing them before you so that he can keep his promised word to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know this, and don't ever forget it. It's not because of any good that you've done that God is giving you this good land to own. Anything but. You're stubborn as mules. Keep in mind and don't ever forget how angry you made God your God in the wilderness. You've kicked and screamed against God from the day you left Egypt until you got to this place. Rebels all the way. You made God angry at Horeb. Made him so angry that he wanted to destroy you. When I climbed the mountain to receive the slabs of stone, the tablets of the covenant that God made with you, I stayed there on the mountain 40 days and nights. I ate no food. I drank no water. Then God gave me the two slabs of stone engraved with the finger of God. They contained the word for word, everything that God spoke to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. It was at the end of the 40 days and nights that God gave me the two slabs of stone, the tablets of the covenant. God said to me, get going and quickly get down there because your people whom you led out of Egypt have ruined everything. In almost no time at all, they have left the road that I laid out for them and gone off and made for themselves a cast god. God said, look at this people. And all I see, I look at these people and all I see are hard-headed, hard-hearted rebels. Get out of my way now so I can destroy them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the map. Then I'll start over with you to make a nation far better and bigger than they could ever be. I turned around and started down the mountain. By now the mountain was blazing with fire, carrying the two tablets of the covenant in my two arms. That's when I saw it. There you were, sitting against God, your God. You had made yourselves a cast god in the shape of a calf. So soon you had left the road that God had commanded you to walk on. I had the two stone slabs high and threw them down, smashing them to bits as you watched. Then I prostrated myself before God, just as I had at the beginning of the 40 days and nights. I ate no food. I drank no water. I did this because of you, all your sins, sinning against God, doing what is evil in God's eyes and making him angry. I was terrified of God's furious anger, his blazing anger. I was sure he would destroy you. But once again, God listened to me and Aaron, how furious he was with Aaron, ready to destroy him. But I prayed also for Aaron at that same time. But that sin thing that you made, that calf god, I took and burned in the fire, pounded and ground it until it was crushed into a fine powder, then threw it into the stream that comes down the mountain. And then there was Camp Teberah, blaze, Massa, testing place, and Camp Gibra, Hadava, graves of the craving. More occasions when you made God furious with you. The most recent was when God sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, ordering you, go, possess the land that I'm giving you. And what did you do? You rebelled. Rebelled against the clear orders of God, your God. Refusing to trust him, wouldn't obey him. You've been rebels against God from the first day I knew you. When I was on my face, prostrate before God these 40 days and nights after God said he would destroy you, I prayed to God for you. My master, God, don't destroy your people, your inheritance, whom In your immense generosity, you redeemed, using your enormous strength to get them out of Egypt. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't make too much of the stubbornness of this people, their evil and their sin, lest the Egyptians from whom you rescued them say, God couldn't do it. He got tired and wasn't able to take them to the land he promised them. He ended up hating them and dumped them in the wilderness to die. They are your people still, your inheritance, whom you powerfully and sovereignly rescued. God responded. He said, shape two slabs of stone similar to the first ones. Climb the mountain and meet me. Also make yourself a wooden chest. I will engrave the stone slabs with the words that were on the first ones, the ones you smashed. Then you will put them in the chest. So I made a chest out of acacia wood, shaped the two slabs of stone, just like the first ones, and climbed the mountain with the two slabs in my arms. He engraved the stone slabs, the same as he had the first ones, the 10 words that he addressed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. Then God gave them to me. I turned around and came down the mountain. I put the stone slabs in the chest that I made, and they've been there ever since, just as God commanded me. The people of Israel went from the wells of the Jeconites to Moserah. Aaron died there and was buried. His son Eleazar succeeded him as priest. From there they went to Gogoda, and then to Jotbatha, a land of streams of water. That's when God set apart the tribe of Levi to carry God's covenant chest, to be on duty in the presence of God, to serve him, and to bless his name as they continue to do today. And that's why Levites don't have a piece of inheritance land as their kinsmen do. God is their inheritance, as God, your God, promised them. I stayed there on the mountain 40 days and nights, just as I did the first time, and God listened to me. Just as he did the first time. God decided not to destroy you. God told me, now get going. Lead your people as they resume the journey to take possession of the land that I promised their ancestors that I'd give to them. So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today. Live a good life. Look around you. Everything you see is God's. The heavens above and beyond, the earth and everything on it. But it was your ancestors who God fell in love with. He picked their children, that's you, out of all the other peoples. That's where we are right now. So cut away the thick calluses from your heart and stop being so willfully hard-headed. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters. A God immense and powerful and awesome. Play favorites, takes no bribes, make sure orphans and widows are treated fairly, takes loving care of foreigners by seeing that they get food and clothing. You must treat foreigners with the same loving care. Remember, you were once foreigners in Egypt. Reverently respect God, your God. Serve him. Hold tight to him. Back up your promises with the authority of his name. He's your praise. He's your God. He did all these tremendous, these staggering things that you saw with your own eyes. When your ancestors entered Egypt, they numbered a mere 70 souls. And now look at you. You look more like the stars in the night skies in number. And your God did it. So love God, your God. Guard well his rules and regulations. Obey his commandments for the rest of time. Today, it's very clear that it isn't your children who are front and center here. They weren't in on it. What God did, didn't see the acts, didn't experience the discipline, didn't marvel at his greatness, the way he displayed his power in the miracle signs and deeds that he let loose on Egypt, on Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all his land? The way he took care of the Egyptian army, its horses and chariots, burying them in the water of the Red Sea as they pursued you, drowned them. And you're standing here today alive. Nor was it your children who saw how God took care of you in the wilderness up until the time you arrived here. What he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben. How the earth opened up its jaws and swallowed them with their families, their tents, and everything around them, right out of the middle of Israel. Yes, it was you, your eyes, that saw every great thing that God did. So it's you who are in charge of keeping the entire commandment that I command you today, so that you'll have the strength to invade and possess the land that you are crossing the river to make your own. Your obedience will give you a long life on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors and their children, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take up ownership isn't like Egypt, the land you left, where you had to plant your own seed and water it yourself as in a vegetable garden. But the land you're about to cross the river and take for your own is a land of mountains and valleys. It drinks water that rains from the sky. It's a land that God, your God, personally tends. He's the gardener. He alone keeps his eye on it all year long. From now on, if you listen obediently to the commandments that I am commanding you today, love God, your God, and serve him with everything you have within you, he'll take charge of sending the rain at the right time, both autumn and spring rains, so that you'll be able to harvest your grain, your grapes, your olives. He'll make sure there's plenty of grass for your animals. You'll have plenty to eat. But be vigilant, lest you be seduced away and end up serving and worshiping other gods. And God erupts in anger and shuts down heaven, so there's no rain and nothing grows in the fields. And in no time at all, you're starved out. Not a trace of you left on the good land that God is giving you. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts and gates of your city so that you'll live a long time and your children with you, on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is a sky over the earth. That's right. Diligently keep all this commandment that I command you to obey. Love God, your God. Do what he tells you. Stick close to him. God, on his part, will drive out all these nations that stand in your way. Yes, he'll drive out nations much bigger and stronger than you. Every square inch on which you place your foot will be yours. Your borders will stretch from the wilderness to the mountains of Lebanon, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand in your way everywhere you go. God sent fear and trembling will precede you, just as he promised. I brought you today to the crossroads of blessing and curse. The blessing if you listen obediently to the commandments of God, your God, which I command you today. The curse if you don't pay attention to the commandments of God, your God, but leave the road that I command you today, following other gods of which you know nothing. Here's what comes next. When God, your God, brings you into the land you are going in to make your own, you are to give out the blessing from Mount Gerizim and the curse from Mount Ebal. After you cross the River Jordan, follow the road to the west to Canaanite settlements in the valley near Gilgal and the Oaks of Moreh. You are crossing the Jordan River to invade and take the land that God, your God, is giving you. Be vigilant. Observe all the regulations and rules I am setting before you. While listening to this week's headline, on the Blog Talk Radio programs, we were blessed to share and to take part in the sharing of testimonies and the walks that wonderful men and women of God have been on, and the move of God in those in their lives, and how life came in and removed death, how the light of God came in and chased out the darkness, and how miracles happened and transformation happened at the power of God. And we were reminded of the walk with God, our God. The miracles we saw in our personal lives, we could testify of those, and we did. You know, you testified, you shared that. You shared not just your transformation, but you shared the love of God in your life. And though we're also imperfect people with our own mistakes and our own walks, it's God who brings his righteousness into our lives that transforms. And we're able to come through because of God, our God, and because of his unfailing promise to keep and to make us his children, his people. Because of God, our God, he makes us his. Times when we're wrong and we make mistakes, he's still God. He's still our God. God was patient with the people of Israel through the wilderness. He got angry. But see, God had placed Moses for a reason where he was. And the arrangement that God makes is beautiful because he knows, and he knows us. He knows our hearts. His promises don't fail. Even when we fail, even when we come short, he doesn't stop loving us. It's just like our brother Shannon said, and like all those, you know, giving their testimonies showed in their own testimonies, if you can make it through the desert, the promised land is waiting on the other end. The call of God on our lives, you're going to notice, tends to require things of us that are at times we may not be able to. They may not be comfortable, the things that God requires of us. They may be outside of our scope, outside of our reach, outside of our abilities. But see, that's where God, our God, comes in. Where we fall short, he's more than able. He makes us able. He makes us able to serve him and to live with him and walk with him and be with him and to be his children and to be blessed by him. Even though we have failings, even though we're not perfect, he still blesses us and loves us and multiplies us. Sometimes when listening to the spirits of fear, rebellion, lying spirits, people choose to do what's wrong. But God, our God, in his mercy, keeps making us and bringing us closer to him, bit by bit, removing our enemies out of our way. End time generation, the army of God, God's reign in earth, his kingdom. See, we don't have to pray God's kingdom come. We are the kingdom of God in the earth today. The kingdom of God is in us. And the more of God that shows through us, the more of his kingdom is active in the world because of God alive in us, God moving in us, us obediently walking in the path that he has called us to walk in. Our God, the world sees us. The enemy sees us, but they also see God, our God, in us. They also see God making us and using our lives and our testimonies, the words we speak, that create, that give life, that speak life. God changed Jacob's name to Israel in Genesis 35:10. But something odd happens. So something odd about when God changed Jacob's name to Israel. See, many others in the Bible, you know, their names were changed as well. God gave them new names. And after their new name was given, they were called by their new name, such as Abraham, Sarah, and even in the New Testament, Saul's name was changed to Paul. But the thing about Jacob is, and I don't have time to go through all the examples, but there were times when apparently Jacob was failing. He was not being faithful, and he was called Jacob. But then there were times where it appeared that he was doing, you know, right by God. He was obedient, he was faithful, and he was called Israel. God chose for his former name to remain, to reappear in the scripture from time to time for a reason. And you see that here through the scriptures that I read in Deuteronomy, that God says, you know, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And it tells you something not just about Jacob, but it tells you something about God. See, in Exodus 3:13 from the King James, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers had sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. What God is saying to us, what God was saying to Moses, and what God was saying to the people in captivity, in bondage, was, I am that I am. But even more than this, tell them that God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He didn't call him Israel, he called him Jacob. Because God is the God of the perfect and the imperfect. You see, God is the God of all his children. I took my children to the mall yesterday. And here in New York, in public places like malls, it's crowded. It's full of people. But it doesn't take long to notice that these are people from all nations. These are people from all parts of the world, all backgrounds and tongues and religions and nationalities. These are a multitude of peoples. And I wouldn't be extreme to say to you that on our walk through the mall, as usual, the people we walked around the mall, around that were around us, they were different. They were strange people. There were ordinary people, there were weird people, there were unusual people, there were all kinds of people. People of every sort are aplenty in New York, I'll tell you. There's so many different people here. And as we walked through the mall, God told me, yeah, they're all different, And they're so various, but I am God, their God, and I love them. God told me, he said, they're all different, and they're so various, but I am God, their God, and I love them. And if you're a child of God and have been changed and impacted by God, delivering you, healing you, saving you, restoring you, making you, transforming your life, then when you see people, you see God. Even the ones that are like Jacob in failure, not obediently following God, but at some point in their life, God called them, and they're in that time of their life where they're failing. God is still the God of Jacob. And all the people you see, God is still their God. He's still their God. You know, we sang it, we said it the other day. I see God in everything. I see you in everything. And like Dr. Shepherd says, when she sees people delivered, because a person in need plus Jesus is a person delivered. When you see people, there's no escaping not seeing that God is their God as well. There's no escaping it. You can't escape the deliverance of God. It's there. It's there. You see, when Moses was getting his marching orders from God, and he was about to go into a fierce engagement with that spiritual enemy, that bondage over the children of Israel in Egypt, and he spoke with God as his God. And when Moses asked what to say when they ask him who sent him, he hears the I am tell him. He is the God, their God. The God not just of Abraham, not just of Jacob, or Isaac and Jacob, but Israel was in bondage. You see, Israel was in bondage. So God said, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Jacob. Israel in bondage is Jacob. And God was coming after them to set them free, letting them know he is God of the faithful and the God of the ones struggling in their faith, struggling with the flesh, like he did on the riverbank, struggled and wrestled in the flesh until his hip come out of place and God blessed him with a new name. God was telling Moses, tell them I'm coming for Jacob. And when he's delivered, he will be my people, Israel. Even though the people of Israel were stubborn and easily turned aside after error and sin, God still comes after to deliver. You know, the Lord, he knows where you're at. He sees you. And I want to say one more thing about yesterday. Before we went to the mall, we went to the public library. And a woman came up before us, and you can sign out. You can sign out of libraries these packages of babies and toddlers' toys that you can assemble and with number blocks and Lego pieces and project crafts that you can build. You can sign them out and take them home. And this woman came and she had this play package for a baby that she was returning. And it was for a child that was handicapped. Special needs child that some children are so homebound in a sense that they don't go out in public for whatever reasons the parents don't. Some children are handicapped in that sense. And I want to point out here, I'm not telling you this to tug on your emotion. I'm telling you this because there are people listening trapped and cannot get out of Egypt. There are people with loved ones who are isolated by the affliction of the devil, and God is telling you, all these Moseses that God is raising up, God's telling you, tell them the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is coming to deliver. Those that are trapped in bondage in prison, the gospel, the good news is that Jesus has set you free. Father, thank you for this word this morning. I bind fear. I bind limitation. I bind restriction. I bind the lies that fear puts on people through affliction and through physical bondage, emotional bondage, all the psychological torment that the devil has put on people. I bind that up right now and apply the blood of Jesus. Sprinkle the blood of Jesus on every mind that struggles in the flesh like Jacob did, to loose them. To loose them with a new name and apply Jesus in their life, Lord God. Set them free. Set them free in the name of Jesus. I send peace. I loose peace and life and the word of God, the truth that sets free, to go into those homes, to those people's hearts that listen and that are hearing and waiting, calling on you, God, wondering if there's a God coming. You have said, tell them I am that I am. I'm coming to deliver you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we lift you up. We thank you for your word this morning, God, that sets free, that gives liberty, that heals and delivers and gives hope and comfort, wisdom. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Thank you for being with me this morning. Ted Line, we'll see you in the morning. God say the same.
Driving arrows from my past, I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back, I'm moving forward. I know I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down.